RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Become your healthiest self. It's time for Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Well, I guess it's that time of year again when kids are groaning and parents secretly cheering. Back to school brings a flurry of activity. School shopping, orientations, organizing carpools, getting to know the new teachers, and trying to mesh, well, school, work, and extracurricular activity schedules. But the back-to-school season also brings concerns about our kids' health. Here to answer our questions, Dr. Diana Angela Fong will give parents the real scoop on keeping kids healthy as they head back to class. From common bugs that seem to spread across campuses like wildfire, to student stress, to lack of sleep, you'll find out the health factors that can undermine student performance. Little background on my guest. Dr. Fong is a naturopathic doctor and the founder of Natural Start Naturopathic Family Medicine in Los Altos, California. She attended naturopathic medical school at the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine and received her undergraduate degree in molecular cell biology at UC Berkeley. Dr. Fong believes that a healthy start in life leads to a healthy future, and that chronic disease, especially in childhood, can lead to more serious problems down the line. Because of this, Dr. Fong's practice mainly focuses on treating children and families and educating them about preventive care. Her special interests include chronic pediatric and adult conditions, chronic skin disease, gastrointestinal complaints, infertility, anxiety, depression, and endocrine-related issues. Thank you for being here. I welcome my guest, Dr. Fong. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is it is that time of the year already. Boy, my goodness, the summer just flew by.
It definitely did. I have a daughter as well. She's 7 years old, and we're getting ready to gear up for school as well. She's starting on Wednesday. So, you know, fun time of the year.
You know, it's interesting. I talk with a lot of parents, of course, after this many years in the field for almost four decades. And, you know, and I talk to teachers and everybody is out in the sun. They're enjoying the summer and everybody's fine. And they go back to school. And 2 weeks into school, people start getting sick. And then they spread it around. And my teacher friends are like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. It only took 2 weeks this year for everybody to start getting sick. And, you know, so some preventive work at home in a lot of different areas, I think, can make a dramatic difference.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, when we, when the kids get into school and they're indoors for, you know, a good part of the day, they're just getting exposed to the germs in a way that they aren't when we're in the summer, just out and about playing around and at camp and playing soccer and, you know, out and about. So definitely, you know, some good preventive measures to boost immunity are very important.
Are you seeing more kids fighting chronic health problems today than we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago? It seems with all of the technology and all the things that we have at our fingertips about diet and supplementation and preventive and even alternatives and complements, we would be a little bit ahead of the game. But I don't know. I don't think we were as sick as I see kids today when I was a kid.
I completely agree with that. You know, the amount of kids I see in my practice for chronic disease, I mean, it is what I focus in, but the amount of kids I see with chronic disease, it's kind of alarming, you know? And the good thing is, though, I find that with the chronic disease, there are almost always answers that we can actually address, whether it be food allergies, food sensitivities, you know, the child is eating something that they don't know they're allergic or intolerant to, or, you know, just kind of really general lifestyle things, like parents are just giving them too much sugar, or they're not getting enough sleep, you know, they're not getting out and about and exercising. And sometimes it's really simple, you know, the answers are pretty simple. I just think some of us parents don't really know those answers. So that's one of the things I do is kind of, you know, educate the parents in my practice. First, you know, for themselves, because I do think showing the kids a healthy lifestyle in your own life is one of the most important things to do. Because if the kids are watching the parents, you know, eat junk food and not exercise and stay at home and watch TV, they're going to model the same thing. You know, so I would say the chronic disease phenomenon, one is I think just lifestyle and just getting the word out there about educating families on being healthy together, I think that's kind of where the beginning of it.
You know, and I think the other thing is, you know, we are busy and we have a lot on the go. And I mean, when kids start to get involved in activities, it not only is a lot on the kids' plate because they're balancing playtime, school time, and, you know, home time with extracurricular activities, but it does add another layer of responsibility for the parents. And, you know, when you're working a full job or maybe two jobs and you're fitting in extracurricular activities, you know, and most parents will say, you know, I want to do whatever I can for my kids, but I'm sure you see that when you're dealing with the entire family, you can see that sometimes the parents have a tendency to not put any focus on themselves and aim it all at the kids, which is good, but in the long run, it's going to bring them down as well.
100%. I would say that that's one of the bigger factors that I see is that the parents are not taking care of themselves. And so, you know, in terms of your child's health, your health is actually very important, because if you're stressed out, burnt out, you know, you're going to transfer that onto your kids. You are going to be, you know, more irritable, more moody, more stressed out, more susceptible to just kind of giving them junk food because it's the easier thing to do, you know, rather than taking the time to maybe pack lunch and prepare healthy breakfast and cook, you know, very healthy dinners, you're going to be just stressed out as well. And so it really starts at the top. You know, it starts at mom and dad. And then that kind of trickles down to the kids. So, you know, I think modeling the behavior is one of the first things that, you know, as parents, we're kind of thinking, okay, what do we need to get ready for school? And we're just kind of focusing on the kids. But I think we're as important as the kids in terms of the health of the entire family.
You know, when I was being raised, and I mean, I'm in my mid-50s now, so I've been around a while. And when we were raised, we did not leave the house in the morning without eating breakfast. And breakfast wasn't fast food or a soda or junk food. You know, we didn't really do smoothies back then, but we ate a good breakfast every single morning. And most of us in the neighborhood I was in, we all bussed into the city. And, you know, we were in the outside areas in the country. But, I mean, we carried our lunch. We knew it was in the diet. But you didn't leave the house in the morning without food in your stomach. And I think that today, that's one major step that goes away, or if it is done, it's a lot of sugar and it's a lot of stuff that kind of sets the kid off not in a good direction.
100%. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, most of the kids who are coming in who have the chronic diseases, you know, for example, eczema, ADD, ADHD, those kinds of things, they're coming in, and I'm asking, you know, I always ask, you know, what's the diet like? And breakfast tends to be a pretty sugary cereal with milk. And I find that these kids are also the ones possibly getting sick all the time and getting ear infections. And we find that maybe the kid might be allergic or intolerant to dairy, for one, and then maybe allergic or intolerant to gluten. And then the third thing is just the sugariness of the cereal. And also the nutrition content is not very high. Right? So breakfast is really important to get the child started for the day. You know, I mean, that breakfast is going to affect concentration, energy, mood, et cetera, which is going to affect how they're paying attention in class and how they're interacting with teachers and their schoolmates. And so what I like to focus on for breakfast is just really, you know, good protein, good fat, you know, maybe yogurt, oatmeal, you know, a nice healthy fruit along with the protein. You know, and that's a really important part of the day. I completely agree with you.
Do you find that sleep is an issue? You know, I'm one of those people that I'm not a great sleeper. I get the sleep I need. I really do. And I use a lot of natural alternatives to help me get that good sleep. I don't get a lot of it, but I've never been a huge sleeper. I mean, I get 4 or 5 hours and it's solid good sleep and I'm great. If I get much more than that, I'm tired during the day. It's just the way my body works. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I see today with television and kids having TVs and computers and smartphones in their room, it seems like they're going to bed later and later and they're running on much less sleep. And kids need more sleep sometimes than adults. And I think that's a major issue why kids are another issue, I guess I should say, why kids gravitate to sugar and caffeine and things because they're tired.
100%. You know, sleep is so important. I think a lot of us really take it for granted, especially for kids, but even for adults. Sleep is the time when we repair, right? It's for kids, it's when they grow, they develop, their immunity boosts. you know, things are regenerated in the body, proteins are regenerated, neurotransmitters, all of that happens when we sleep. And for kids, you know, 3 to 6 year old kids need to be sleeping, you know, to close to 10 to 12 hours. 7 to 12 year olds need about 10 to 11 hours. And then teens, you know, maybe 8 to 9 hours. And then even as adults, we still need about 7 to 8 hours. You know, I mean, this is kind of general numbers. And as you said, maybe some adults need less and kind of operate better on less sleep, which can be true. So it's not always across the board. But for kids, they really do need more sleep. And what I find is that they're having a difficult time falling asleep. One, because you're correct, you know, they're playing video games and watching TV, you know, before they go to bed. And that, you know, that's something that's really important. I think we do need to limit our TV and video game playing time for our kids, and we need to increase the exercise activity for our kids. And I think the important thing there is also, again, modeling this for them, right? If our kids are seeing us watch TV all day long and not getting out and, you know, walking the dog or going for a run, they're going to say, well, that's what mom and dad do, so that's what I'm going to do too. And so we need to model this. So my general kind of guidelines are, you know, I like about 60 minutes of movement a day if we could, and that could be as simple as taking the dog for a walk for 15 minutes. And, you know, and then the activity they get at school as well, you want to add that on. And then maybe around 30 minutes of non-movement activity, which could be like watching TV, you know, playing video games, that kind of thing. And then really keeping it away from the bedtime. You know, bedtime, you should have a really good routine of kind of winding down. Some of my parents like to do breathing exercises with their kids or a little bit of meditation, which is great. If you can kind of start that when they're young, then that will carry with them, you know, into adulthood. And I find that a lot of my adults who come in who have anxiety and insomnia, meditation is one of the things that can really help them. It's just, you know, kind of tuning into the breath, taking some nice deep breaths, maybe for about 15 minutes a day, maybe right before bed, and that really kind of gets things down a notch. The other thing I find with sleep is I find that a lot of the kids are magnesium deficient. I don't know if you see that in your practice.
I do.
Yeah. So I find that a little bit of magnesium can help, and I do some testing for kids. You know, I do a taste test in the office where they just taste a little bit of magnesium, and we see if they taste a sweet versus bitter taste. And if they're tasting a sweet taste, then we know that they're just a little bit deficient in magnesium. So a little bit of, you know, magnesium right before bed can really help to get them to sleep. There are some other ways to test the magnesium, too. You could, you know, do a blood test and run the RBC magnesium levels as well. So I find that the magnesium is really helpful, not only in the sleep, but also the constipation realm, where I'm seeing a lot of the kids who come in are moody, having insomnia, and are constipated, right? And so that, again, you know, has to do with food. It has to do with nutrition and getting the good amount of fiber in the diet. It also has to do with not getting a lot of sleep. And then also magnesium plays a role in that, too. When you're magnesium deficient, you're also going to be a little constipated, and you're going to have a hard time with sleep, and you're going to be maybe a little moody and you know, have a tendency towards attention issues. So those are the things I find in the sleep that can sometimes help out. You know, Epsom salt baths are really nice. Those are magnesium as well. And, you know, a nice kind of, like I said, the meditation and the massage for the kids. I find that if the mom just kind of massages the feet with some nice essential oils like lavender oil or nice calming oils, that can really help them get to sleep too.
You know, I had a kind of a nice little trick. I teach people on some of my other shows, and it's just something that I thought was a great idea. You know, when you use your dryer sheets and you're taking the clothes out of the dryer, and we wad up the dryer sheet and throw it away, I tell people to save them and, you know, lay them flat and then put like 3 or 4 drops of lavender oil on them and put them between the pillow and the pillowcase. And they really work well, but they work great for kids, but they also work good for us too. And they'll last a couple nights, and then you could either redo it again or bring a new fresh sheet in there. But I think that it really is a good way of kind of repurposing, but also doing something that is so mild, so wonderful, and so, just mellowing to the nighttime, and it just helps you relax, and you don't really know why, you're just relaxing.
Absolutely. I love that. I really like that. I'm gonna take that with me.
Absolutely. Today we're talking with Dr. Fong, and we're talking about kids and kids' health, getting ready to go back to school. Let's say you want to see what's coming up on another show. Well, like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. And face it, walking into most health food stores can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine, packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. Great magazine. You know, Dr. Fong, when people are starting to get healthy, let's say that maybe for the first time, you know, the kids are going from kindergarten to first grade. You know, parents are like, okay, this is a little different than kindergarten where they were only gone for a couple hours. You know, maybe a couple of quick tips for the newer regular school parents?
Sure, yeah. You know, with that, and I just recently went through that. My daughter is going from first to second grade. And so that transition from kindergarten to first grade, where they're spending a little bit more time in school, it can be a little bit of a transition, both for mom and dad, you know, depending on if they're working or not, but for mom and dad, and for the child. And I think one of the things to really pay attention to is kind of, you know, kids will get a little bit tired when they're eating poor foods. And that kind of longer day, I find that's one of the things that, you know, I like to focus on. And eating the sugary foods can really cause them to crash a little bit later in the day. And so that's where, you know, kind of focusing on the sugar content of the foods. And I don't think as parents, I think a lot of times we're just giving our kids, okay, this is what they want, let's give it to them, because maybe they might be throwing a tantrum or whatnot. And then it just starts to become a generality of life. It's like, okay, this is how much sugar my kid eats, and this is how much sugar my kid needs to kind of make it through the day. But, you know, the flip side of that is that when they're getting that sugar, yes, they're getting more energy, but then they're crashing right after that. And so I find that a lot of the parents are telling me at the end of the day when they're picking up their kids are cranky, they're wanting food, they're just really just kind of acting kind of miserable towards the parents, and then as soon as they get the food, they're totally fine, right? So that means that there's some blood sugar dysregulation going on, and more than likely it's because they're surviving on these sugary treats. You know, if we're starting off breakfast with cereal, sugary cereal, and then for lunch we're maybe packing, you know, a sandwich with maybe a jelly sandwich with, you know, a bar that's sugary and, you know, fruit juice and, you know, all these kind of sugary treats, then by the time it hits, you know, 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. when they're getting picked up, they're needing more sugary treats. And so what I like to tell my parents is to focus on, you know, the good protein, the good fats, eating the rainbow. That's one of the things that I find to be very helpful is eating the rainbow, making sure that every week your child is getting red, dark green, purple, yellow, orange, white, and light green. And this can make it really fun for the kids, too, in terms of going shopping with mom and finding these colors, you know, the tomatoes, the watermelon, the kale, the spinach. Okay, what's dark green? Let's go find some dark green foods. And focusing on those really nutrient-rich foods, and then the kid isn't going to have that crash, you know, towards that end of the day. And so that's what I find is kind of a big complaint of the parents is, yep, when I pick up my kid at the end of the day, they're just cranky and starving and, you know, that kind of thing. And the other problem I do see is that the kids aren't eating their lunch. So one of the problems I see is, oh, well, I packed my child a really healthy lunch, but my child didn't eat it, you know, and so then they're getting really cranky at the end of the day, too, because they haven't eaten their lunch. And in that respect, what I usually say is, well, you need to make it more of a lifestyle. It needs to be part of, you know, the weekend and the dinner, and it, this needs to be what they just eat in general. Because if you're only packing a healthy lunch and then for dinner you're going to Taco Bell or something like that, well, then that doesn't make sense, right? So, yeah, those are the things. Those are the, that's the most of the change that I see is kind of those longer days, and the kids are needing, they're needing that energy to make it through that day.
You know, I'm a big advocate of smoothies in the morning, and I've turned, I mean, thousands of parents onto smoothies in the morning, and they get their kids involved where, you know, the kids are there picking the fruits they want to use and the juice or the almond milk or whatever they're choosing. And of course they put their protein powder and put some chia seeds in there. It's a great place to put some fish oil and kind of get it in there and get it blended up and some greens to get the kids going. But I find that when the kids do start their day with something that's just loaded with nutrition, it really does change the course of the day, because there's really no crashing that you get from a normal sugary breakfast. They're going to crash 2 hours later. You know, it sustains their energy. And if you get some omega-3s in there as well, I mean, we're feeding the brain, we're nourishing the brain, but we're also really balancing out the body. And those kids that and those parents that have incorporated in those really healthy smoothies in the morning, there's a dramatic difference in the way the kids get through the day and how successful they are at being students.
Oh, 100%. I do have a recipe I give to my parents.
Great.
We call it the super shake, and we put in a little bit of turmeric in there, a little bit of noni powder, some type of omega-3 or even the brain octane oil that Bulletproof sells. I like that one as well. Some flaxseed oil, chia seeds if you can get them in there. Maybe a little spinach, and then some, you know, some good kind of fruits that kind of make it a little more sweet and more palatable for the child. I love that. And, you know, some kids are, well, okay, totally are, yes, let's do it. We love it. And then some kids don't really dig the smoothies as much, and that's okay. Then you just have to find something else. But I do love that that super shake. I also put a little probiotics in there as well. And that kind of, you know, gets the probiotics in for the day, which is nice. And you could put a little yogurt if you want in there as well.
You know, I think what's really great is I have another mother, and she's got two sons that are in their early teens. And she has two blenders in her kitchen, and they both do their own thing now in the morning. So, you know, they have their almond milk. She has these little containers of chia seeds and ground flax, and she's got turmeric. I mean, she's got all these wonderful things, and they're allowed to mix their own. And the one is really funny because he uses like chocolate almond milk. He puts like three little squares of dark, good quality chocolate. He likes two tablespoons of peanut butter, and he puts all the other stuff, the omega-3s, the greens and all that stuff in, where the other one is more into like the strawberry and the mango and the bananas and the tropical. And the other one is all about chocolate. And oh, and he puts frozen raspberries in with all this chocolate too. So they do different things, but they get the same nutrient. They use a different delivery, but you know what? They do it on their own every day and on the weekends.
Right. It just becomes kind of a lifestyle. And that's what I'm, what I tell my parents is it really needs to become a lifestyle, right? And that's, it's so important in childhood because it will carry with them all the way into adulthood. And then you're building a really strong immune system, really strong microbiome, you know, really strong army kind of against the world, so that the system is really strong and just kind of can make it through, and then chronic disease doesn't become an issue anymore, that they're just living life, and this is just how it's always been. And I love that. I love, I'm a big proponent of getting the kids involved. Take them to the grocery store. Let's find the rainbow. Let's get some red in there, some dark green. Let's cook together. You know, I think that's a big part of this, is making it really fun for the kids.
I have a friend of mine, she's a single mom and she has two girls, and they decided that at the beginning of the year that every time they went to the grocery store, it was one of the kids' turns to pick up a new vegetable. And she has a list there, so that whether it's been on the list or not. So they pick some kind of a crazy vegetable, and they go to a lot of the Chinese grocery stores, Mexican grocery stores, so they get all different kinds of cultures of vegetables. And then they go home, and then they go online, and then they Google it and find a way to prepare it. And then they prepare it together, and she says, now, if you don't like it, that's fine, but we just want to taste it. And she says that they've gone from eating corn and green beans and peas to like 30 or 40 different vegetables that they really do enjoy, But every time they go, they pick up a different vegetable. It's one of the little girls' turn to pick one out. And then as a group, they Google it and they figure the best recipe, the way to prepare it, and then they try it. And I just think that was so clever.
I love that. Yeah, that is so clever. And I love that when parents tell us their stories and, you know, they get really creative. And then we can share that with other patients because other patients, you know, can try similar things and maybe it might not be right for them. And then parents can get creative on their own to figure out ways to make it fun for their kids.
We're talking today with Dr. Diane Angela Fong, and we're talking about kids, and we're talking about kids' health. We're getting ready for the flurry of activity and the school shopping and carpools and new teachers and new grades and new kids and maybe even new schools or maybe just breaking into the school from kindergarten or maybe it's kindergarten or you're driving your kids up to college. Whatever it is, you know, getting a better handle on your health, on your nutrition, starting your day off with a little bit of a healthier way of looking at things, getting a better night's rest, and, you know, never being afraid to ask questions. Because it is about asking questions, you know, and if this is new to you, talk to other parents, read good magazines like Better Nutrition Magazine where you can get ideas for healthy living and go to good quality, good, solid brick-and-mortar health food stores where you get all that wonderful knowledge. I want to thank to my guest, Dr. Diane Angela Fong, for giving us great information today and bringing us up to date on kids because, wow, summer's gone. Unbelievable. We're going into the school season, and you know what? Before you know it, colds and flus, well, they're right around the corner, so let's be prepared. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is the Talk Healthy Today show on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, remember to go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Look for Talk Healthy Today on the on-demand podcast of the show at Radio MD. I thank you for listening. Stay well.